The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 448. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. My guest for this episode is Lee Exifer. He is the creator behind a wonderful comic called Altered Ego. And it centers around a character named Sue, and she has no powers, no superpowers, that is, and she lives in a world where superpowers are pretty much the regular, and people use those superpowers to gain influence on the internet and become superstars and whatnot. It's a really interesting tale, and the fourth issue is coming out, and Lee comes on to talk about that project and the Kickstarter, which has already funded. We also talk a little bit about some of the new characters that you will find in the pages of issue 4. We even dabble and talk a little bit about conventions and, you know, basically some advice for those new folks out there that are looking to table at the next upcoming convention. And I should also mention that if you think that you heard this name before, Lee Exifer, well, you would be correct, because he and his brother Nate have a wonderful project called The Wild. And they came on, I just want to say, the beginning of May on the PVD Cast to talk about that project. But this time, Lee's going solo, and I'm glad that he stopped by and chatted with this project, because I'm a big fan of Altered Ego. I think I should admit to that. I like it. I think it's a great concept. It's a great comic, and I think you'll enjoy it too. So, but before we get into all the ins and outs about Lee's project, I need to stop and thank a great sponsor of the PVD Cast, World's Greatest Comics. Look, I tell you all the time that World's Greatest Comics is like the Cadillac of comic book stores. That's right, that's how luxurious it is. I'm comparing it to a Cadillac. Are Cadillacs considered to be luxurious in pop culture right about now? Anyways, let's go with it. So, listen, you owe it to yourself to check out the store, all right? Especially if you're in Central Ohio. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And you can check them out online, wgcomics.com. And you can check them out on Facebook at WG Comics. And you can see what they have in stock, which is, of course, all of your single issues, your graphic novels, your trade paperbacks, your collectibles, your action figures, your issues from the golden, modern, bronze, and silver age, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues. Look, like I just said a few moments ago, you owe it to yourself to check out the store. So with that, as I do every time I read this copy, I need to say thank you so very much to the fine folks at World's Greatest for being a great sponsor of the PVD Cast. All right, that being said, then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with Lee Exifer. Ladies and gentlemen, joining me this afternoon is the creator of a fantastic comic called Altered Ego. Joining me, Lee Exifer. Lee, how are you doing?
Hey, John, I'm great. Happy to be here.
I mean, you and your brother Nate were on in May, but that was to discuss your project, The Wild, which we can maybe touch base about that in a little bit for those new listeners.
Yeah.
Let's start off with, can you give a brief summary of Altered Ego?
Sure. Altered Ego is a comic that I'm working on. I am writing and drawing it. It's about a world where superpowers are commonplace, but most people who have them are just trying to be like internet famous. And the story follows a woman who does not have any powers. She very much wants to be a superhero. And so she's sort of fed up with how nobody is taking things seriously. And then as much as she hates it, she keeps getting drawn into the spotlight because she's doing the right thing. And so the adventure sort of unfolds from there.
And you certainly have a cast of many interesting characters, not just Sue, but to Hero Prime, for an example, which would you like to maybe give a quick summary of Hero Prime?
Sure. Yeah. Hero Prime is sort of my analog to Superman. In this universe, he's the first superhero. So he's the leader of the Hero Corps, which is like the big, the analogous would be the Justice League. And he has the ability to make unbreakable force fields. So like big, like yellow bubbles, basically.
Okay. All right. Let's talk a little bit about It Girl, the newer character that you've created.
Yeah. So It Girl is a character. She's a little bit newer to this world. She bills herself as like a superhero influencer. So basically she's everything that I've sort of gleaned from being on the internet wrapped up into one character.
Okay. Maybe my favorite character in this universe is Carol. So can you let the uninitiated know what is so awesome about Carol?
Yeah, Carol is awesome. She quickly became one of my favorites, and she's definitely a fan favorite. So Carol, when we meet her, she's a cat, and she's Sue's roommate. Sue is the main character in this comic. Her backstory, she used to be a superhero. She was one of the founding members of the Hero Corps. She was a shapeshifter, and then she retired when she got stuck in the form of a cat. So now she's just living her best life as a cat. And she is sort of a role model for Sue as her roommate and someone with superhero experience.
Now, if I did my research correctly, I think somewhere on your social media, you had a sketch of Carol in human form.
Yeah, that's right.
What was the inspiration for doing that?
Yeah, so I wanted to, you know, part of the idea is when you're doing Kickstarters, or at least what I found, is that people like variant covers. Personally, it's not something that I'm really that into, but you know, you got to give the people what they want. So just coming with different ideas for the variant covers, just in building the backstory of this universe, you know, Carol used to be a human. And at some point I wanted to just sort of design what her costume, like what she looked like as a human, as a superhero. So I had the design already, and I just, you know, since this issue features Carol as the, like the cover, she's on the primary cover, she's the main character of this issue. And so I just thought it would be fun to do a variant of her in her human form back when she was a superhero.
Are there any plans to see more of Carol in human form?
Yeah, this isn't a spoiler. She stays a cat this entire series in Alter Ego. I didn't want to mislead anybody that she turns into a human in this comic or anything. But yeah, I've been building the universe sort of, what was it like when Hero Prime first, you know, got his powers and started the Hero Corps. So I've got a lot of, once I'm done with Altered Ego, I've got a lot of ideas for spinoff series in the same universe. And so definitely that's something that I want to do is get into Carol's backstory, Hero Prime's backstory, and sort of the founding of the Hero Corps a little bit more.
Okay. So I don't know if I've ever asked you this question because again, I think Carol is the most fun character in this, in this universe. Do you have cats?
I do have a cat, yeah.
Okay. All right. I mean, I just assumed because you were, you know, you made a cat and we pull from what we know. So
sure,
what's your cat's name?
So it's my girlfriend's cat, but since I've moved in, I've, you know, claimed her as my own also. Her name is Hawk, Hawke. And she is definitely a lot of visual inspiration for the character of Caroline. Okay. Endless photos of her for posing and different reference.
That's okay. I've become a cat dad as well with my girlfriend's cats. I last night I found that one of them decided to do some WWE wrestling and injured the other one. I'm like, what are you doing?
No.
What are you doing? Stop scratching your siblings. Stop
it. Yeah, that is rough.
Yeah.
We just have one so she doesn't get into anybody else's business.
Yeah. Smart move.
Yeah.
Hey, since we're talking about characters, you know, one of the things I saw that you had posted also on social media was that you really take pride in developing deep secondary characters.
Yeah.
So coming out of that, I guess my first question is, why do you feel that that is an important thing to do?
Well, specifically with this series, it works because it's sort of Sue is against the world in a lot of ways. And, you know, the inspiration just comes from anytime I, you know, open a web browser, open social media, whatever, everybody is on there is promoting themselves in some way or another. And so I really wanted to get into that where it's like, everybody that Sue encounters is somebody she kind of hates a little bit. And so, you know, part of that was that there were just a lot of scenes where there were background characters. So we had to see that part to get why Sue was in this mental state. I love superheroes, even though this comic is a little bit of a, or at least where Sue is starting with this, she has a sort of negative view of superheroes. But I love them and I love designing them. So this was a great opportunity. You know, every background character, or not every, a lot of background characters are superheroes in some form or another. So it's really fun just doing, you know, quick ideas, just quick, like, I need somebody, like, there's not enough, there's too much like blue in this panel, so we'll make somebody be red or whatever, you know. So it's a lot of fun just making those character designs, just quick one-off. And then some of them, you know, I like, so I want to draw them again. And so they show up multiple times. And some of them, because of that, you know, I've gotten lines and been a little bit more, taken a little bit more focus. It was not intended, but it just sort of developed as it came through. And I think that's, you know, sort of just the history of comics, really. Like, when you go all the way back to the beginning, like, nobody had any ideas for, like, where Superman, Batman were going to go with their stories. They were just creating it on the fly as they were going. So with the background characters especially, I sort of try to get into that spirit where it's just like, all right, I need some character to fill in here. And then I like the design and let's see what happens type of thing.
Can you give us a sneak peek of some of the new characters we run into in issue 4?
Yeah, so honestly, in issue 4, I don't know that there are that many new characters. I think by this point, I've just settled on sort of the ones that I liked and have been going over them again and again. But one that's come up quite a bit, her name is Boss Babe. Again, it was just a design that I liked. And then I was like, hey, let's give this character a name and, you know, at least like a two sentence backstory. So her deal is that she has a healing power. So her blood heals herself. And what she does is she sells her blood so that other people can heal. Whether that works or not, science is not proven. But she sort of runs an MLM where she gets people to, you know, sell her blood for her and so on, and blood type products. So she has a line in this issue, something, I don't remember it exactly, but something to the effect of like, sign up now, be your own boss. My healing blood is now infused with 7 essential oils. So that type of thing. But I really like her character design. She's sort of like an alt girl. She got tattoos and piercings, which again was just something that I just decided to draw. And then it came about. A character grew from nothing.
You know, that catchphrase sounds very, very familiar. Like you've seen a few of these ads, have you not?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. There are so many things in this series that are just a reaction to, like I said, just anybody who's trying to promote themselves in any way. One of my favorite lines, there's a character in issue 1, and he shows up quite a bit too. His name is Velocitor, so he runs fast. But he goes up to Sue in issue 1 and says, can I tell you about my super speed? And that's just that's like the unofficial, like, spiritual tagline of this series. Anytime, you know, walking through a convention, so many people will be like, hey, can I tell you about my comic? Or like, hey, can I show you this thing that I'm doing? Which, you know, I totally get, like, that's what I'm doing here right now. but just, you know, taking that idea and applying it to superheroes was just like the essence of what I'm getting at with the subtext of this series.
Well, let's talk about the fourth issue. It's named Toxic, and the Kickstarter is currently going on, and it's totally funded. And did I see that you really kind of, you smashed your goal, I guess, is basically what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, definitely smashed the goal. You know, more money is always better. so I'm not going to complain about that. A lot of these things, even though it, you know, it looks like I'm making a lot more than I planned for, I'm still basically going to make even with or break even with a lot of my costs. So, definitely super happy. And a lot of the funding came, or at least a lot of the funding that I needed came in the first day, especially in the first 2 hours. I was funded in the first 2 hours, which is, you know, incredible. So very thankful to all the fans and backers for that. So yeah, we're doing really well. We've got 1 week to go or 9 days to go, at time of this recording. And yeah, hopefully we keep growing. There are a lot more stretch goals I have planned that we can unlock if we keep, hitting, more goals or keep raising more money for this.
Well, let's talk about those stretch goals. What can people get, especially for those folks that have yet to plunk down any cash for, issue number four?
Sure. So the first stretch goal that people can get, we unlock this one, is a wristband for a fictional event that they're going to. Like I said, a lot of this experience is based on my trying to promote my own comics, you know, going to conventions, meeting other people who are promoting themselves, and just being involved in that sphere. So in the story, they go to an event called Spark Fest, and they get wristbands like, you know, you get at a Comic-Con. And so this is just branded to look like Sparkfest. It's not a real event, but I just thought it was a fun thing. Like the characters have this in issue four, so it's a fun reality thing. So that's coming. Everybody who pledges with a physical reward is going to get that. I also have a digital art book. One of the things that people ask for or have asked for in the past, you know, is just more digital rewards. You know, I have digital comics as a tier, and I want to, you know, reward those people who are just, you know, wanted to read digital for whatever reason. So with starting with last issue is when I started doing this. It's just a digital art book of all the different covers that I've done for this series. So issues 1, 2, 3, 4, all the main covers, variant covers, and all the sketch covers that I've done also are going to be in this. And then I also have like the final pencil sketch of all of them so that you can sort of compare what changed between the idea and the final. So I really like this. Hopefully other people like it too, but this, that was, once I decided to start doing that, that became one of my favorite little side projects to do with that.
Cool.
Then the next stretch goal is people are getting a trading card, which is from the last issue. One of the rewards was a trading card series. And so a mystery one will go out to all physical backers of this one. I have what I started doing with the last Wild Kickstarter was splitting it up between doing stretch goals and challenges. There's a challenge to get a sticker of Carol in her human form. Her superhero name was Skinwalker, just by leaving a comment on the Kickstarter page about letting me know what your favorite superpower is. If you could have any superpower, what that would be. So if you leave a comment and you back, you get a free sticker also. And likewise, I have stickers of Wonder Woman and Death from Sandman available if you leave a comment on my Instagram or Facebook. And then the stretch goal we're working toward next is a digital wallpaper for your phone of the character Warped. So that unlocks at $4,000. We're about $600 away from that goal. So hopefully we can unlock that in the next few days and get everybody another stretch goal as well.
Well, I know that this is not part of the stretch goals, but it was something that I saw and I was like, I got to ask Lee about this. Have you always had apparel? Because now you have shirts for Altered Ego. And I don't know in the previous times that we've talked whether you had apparel.
Yeah, I've done apparel I think I started it with issue 2. Okay. And the reason for that was, honestly, like, I wanted a shirt for myself to wear at con. I was like, hey, I can see if anybody else wants this. And yeah, it's been a hit. So yeah, I've been offering those since then.
And the Carol plushie is adorable, by the way. I'm just
that was something that's brand new to this issue in this Kickstarter. My friend Heather does those crochet plushies for her business, Tiny Terrors. And I just asked her to do one for Carol. It came out great. It is perfect. It's exactly what I wanted. And yeah, those are available. I think there's a limit to how many there are. I think there are only a couple left. So if that's something you're into, definitely back that now before they all run out.
Okay. So you mentioned something that I was going to ask you later on, but you talking about your stretch goals, you said, you know, that if patrons would just tag what their favorite super or what their superpower would be in the comments section. So I have to ask, what would be your superpower if you could pick one?
Yeah. So if it just had to be one, like, it would be great to have all of them, you know, be like Superman.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Like, that would be best. And if I was like going into, like, I think it'd be cool to be like a Green Lantern too. I think that would be fun. That's essentially like having all the superpowers too.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I would just like to be able to fly, whatever lets me do that, whether if it was wings or if I could just, you know, control things with my mind or whatever. I think that would be the main thing. If I was playing in a video game, I would, you know, I'm pretty basic. I would just like some type of energy blast, I think. Like when I created my character for DCU Online, I chose the fire as my power and then the flight as my movement. But basically, I just want to be able to fly and shoot things.
I'm going to teleport. I'd like to do that. Okay. Cut down on your commutes around town. I think that would be incredibly handy.
Yeah, absolutely. That would be really cool too. Especially like not even just around town, but you're like, hey, I want to go to the beach, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Pay for the flight. Yeah, that'd be great.
You know, there's a catch to the superpowers. There has to be.
Yeah. Warped is one of my characters from Altered Ego. He's a teleporter. And yeah, there is a catch you see in issue 2. He teleports and he doesn't end up where he intended to end up. And there are some consequences from that.
Okay. You also mentioned in your rundown of some of the stretch goals that you have covers that are modeled after movie posters. So what's the newest one for issue 4?
Yeah, so issue 4 has one of my favorite movie poster homages. This is Hero Prime in the Kill Bill poster. Once I settled on the design for Hero Prime and the color scheme, I was like, this is the bride, you know, this is from Kill Bill. Like, this is, it's just too perfect. It just fits. The only sort of question mark I had was in the Altered Ego, in the Kill Bill poster. You know, the bride is standing there and she's got the sword, which sort of fills out the space in the lower left of the poster. So the only question is what to do with that space. But in issue number 3 of Altered Ego, Hero Prime reveals that he has this like energy weapon that helps with the main threat of the comic. So there's like a parasite that's taking over people. And so I was like, yeah, that works. I'll just have him hold that and then we'll have some like energy blast coming off of it. So once I figured on that, it was great. But yeah, the color scheme was perfect and it just fit with the Kill Bill poster.
So for you folks that are listening out there, if you haven't checked them out, definitely jump on Lee's social media and check them out. There's a whole montage of these movie poster homages and they're pretty well done.
Thank you. Yeah. One of the things that interests me about doing it is trying to match the typography. You know, I've seen a lot of homage covers where, you know, the pose is the same, but then it still just has the normal logo at the top or something. And so I wanted to, you know, as much as possible, match the typography of the movie poster. So it's been fun, like creatively for me to do that.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Lee for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They are your one-stop shop for all your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, a large back catalog. They basically got you covered for your comic book wants and needs. So swing on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you can check them out online. WGComics.com is a web address, and they're even active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics. You also have some very talented cover artists that have helped out with the project. I just jotted down a couple of them. Jeffrey Ward, Danita, and some guy named Nate Exifer. I don't know who that guy is, but anyways.
Yeah, I met him at a con at some point.
Yeah. I wrote down in my notes, nepotism, ? Anyways.
Yeah, a little bit.
A little bit. That's all right. You know, hey. Yeah. Well, besides Nate, because I'm sure he was an easy one to get on board with. How about Jeffrey and Danita? How did you come across these talented folks?
Yeah, so these are all people that I've met on the convention circuit. So one of the things that I wanted to do differently with this convention, Kickstarter, is do original art of my characters on sketch cover blanks of Altered Ego. So with issue one, I printed sketch cover blanks with the idea was that I would, you know, draw on those, which I've done every issue. But then I decided, hey, you know, let's let other people draw on these and see what happens. So the idea behind these were, you know, I wanted to find artists who first draw traditionally, which is harder to find than you would think. And then people who, you know, I know, or I can meet at a convention. So I just at a convention, I just hand in the book, say, hey, can you draw this black and white, you know, super easy. And cause I just want to see your version. So yeah, Jeffrey, Danita and Linnea are all people who, I've met at conventions. I think I had them do these at Anime Ohio and Gem City Comic Con, and they all came out great. I loved all of them.
Excellent. Well, let's talk a little bit about conventions, because this is, I think, you know, we've talked about conventions quite a bit on this episode. And more recently, I've been kind of trying to pick the brain of my guests as to when you go to a convention, what's some of the etiquette you should have? What's some of the things that make a very good convention, et cetera, et cetera. So in your opinion, what makes a good convention?
It's a really good question. Maybe not the best answer, but the most realistic answer is, you know, if I make money.
Right. No, I'm.
So that's at least a big part of the equation. But I also gauge a good convention by just the vibe of the crowd, or like how many business cards I'm handing out. Like sort of answering your question, but a bad convention is when people aren't even stopping by. They're not looking at my stuff. They're not making eye contact. They're not talking to me. You know, I can, if people are engaged, like, you know, I understand you're at a convention. You can't support every artist. You can't buy everything that you're into. I get that. But yeah, when people are at least interested, when they pick up a business card, when they're like, hey, I like your stuff. I'm going to check you out later. Like, as long as I get that good feedback, then it's a good con. It's only bad if nobody's stopping, if there's just a bad vibe all around. But if everybody's having fun, everybody's good, then I'm having a good time too. But yeah, making money is doesn't hurt either.
Well, let's talk about maybe for newcomers to the convention world, if you will. What is some etiquette that you would give them, kind of, you know, in an advice type of way? Hey, you should do this, don't do that.
Sure. And just to understand the question, are you talking about people just attending a convention or people exhibiting at a convention?
Exhibiting.
Got it. Yeah, when you're exhibiting at a convention, I think my thing, don't be too pushy. I've been next to people or across from people who are just like annoy me by how pushy and annoying they're being to people who are walking by. Again, like, you have to understand that not everybody's going to be able to buy your stuff, even if they really like it. Like, it's just not feasible. So just be there to have a good time. Don't be trash talking anybody. So, all right, I focused on some negative things. So I focus on some don'ts. But yeah, if you're new to the convention, some good things to do. I mean, have your stuff clearly displayed on your table. I found that going vertical is better, meaning like, you know, stack things, making as many things sort of more eye level as possible.
Okay.
Always bring snacks because you're going to get hungry and thirsty. Yeah, always be nice to your neighbors. Everybody that I've met at a convention has been nice to me, at least like all the exhibitors. So it's a really good environment. Like, don't be afraid to just be like, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. Can you watch my table for, you know, 5 minutes? Like, everybody's super nice. Everybody realizes we're in it together, aside from whatever, a couple bad eggs. Let's see. A backdrop is really important. It doesn't matter what it is necessarily, but anytime I'm looking at a table and I can see the back of the person's backdrop who's on the other side of you, I just feel bad. Like, it makes a weird like visual to me. So just, yeah, have something behind you just to sort of block the area behind you. And one important thing, if you have a book especially, is figure out your pitch. One of the, you know, I started making comics just because I like drawing and I like writing. And my first book, Rock of Pages, like, it took me probably a couple years of selling it before I really understood what it was about or like how to tell people what it was about. I want to say like my first show, I probably just said like, hey, this is a comic I'm working on. You can look through it. So having a pitch for your book and also knowing, like, I have mine, and you, if you go back to the beginning of this episode, when I gave my pitch for Altered Ego, I had it split up into maybe two or three sentences. And generally I get people's feedback. So I do the first thing, like, Altered Ego is a comic about a world where superpowers are commonplace, but most people who have them are just trying to be like internet famous. And then see how they respond to that. If they want more, you can tell that they're still interested. If they're still walking away, then just let them walk. Like, talking to somebody who's not interested in your comic doesn't do anybody any good, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And yeah, just understand that people are just coming, going. You can't get everybody to buy your stuff. Just be there. As long as you're spreading the word about yourself and your art, then I think it's a good thing.
Okay, enough said. And those are a lot of common pieces of advice that many creators give when answering that question. And, you know, I think it's just, maybe it's, personally, I think that maybe that's something that's not gone over a lot. You know what I mean? You know, like, how to present at a con. That's why I started asking those questions, because, I don't know if there's a, you know, a formal training that people go to, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, you know, how do you, you're doing it, you know, just by the seat of your pants, you know? And so,
Definitely. And I think that there are a lot of tutorials. There's a lot of information online about how to make a booth. But yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of information about like do's and don'ts, how to behave or how to actually act behind the table.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, speaking of conventions, do you have any coming up here in the next few weeks?
Yes, actually, Cincinnati Comic Expo is coming up. It is on the 18th through the 20th of October, so this month. So right now, it's not this upcoming weekend, but the next weekend. Cincinnati is one of our hometown shows. I live in the Dayton area now, but lived in Cincinnati for many years, so I consider it a hometown show. As one of my favorites, it is at the Sharonville Convention Center this year, which is a little bit odd. The convention center that it's normally at is under construction. So, you know, excited to be at the new location and hope everything goes smoothly. But yeah, that's the next one coming up. And I always have a blast at this one every year.
Cool. I'm glad that you have that show, because I was looking at the calendar going, well, things are probably starting to wind down for the convention circuit.
Yeah, at least for me, this is my last one of the year. Usually the Cincinnati show is in September, but again, they had to shuffle things because of the schedule with the convention center. So it is a little bit later this year. It's my last one of the year. So hopefully we go out with a bang.
Okay. Well, let's just touch base, especially for the new listeners, about your other project, The Wild, that you work on with your brother, Nate. Can you give a brief summary?
Okay, so The Wild is a comic about a world of animals that's been returned to the law of the jungle after the fall of their magical kingdom. So the story follows a wolf who was raised by sheep. As he's sort of struggling to find his place in the world, along the way, he gets drawn into a bigger adventure to save the animal kingdom. So it's sort of like, we think of it as like a mix between maybe like Lord of the Rings, Mad Max, and Zootopia. So it's like a post-apocalyptic world of animals with magic. Okay. And there is there's 6 issues in the first arc. We just finished issue number 5. That was a Kickstarter we did earlier this year. It was released and funded, and it came out great. And issue 6 should be, it's in progress right now. The script is done, and Nate is working on the art as we speak.
Okay, cool. Now, I forgot to ask, will Nate be at the Cincinnati Comic Con as well?
Yeah, Nate will be there. He'll be there next to me.
Okay. I would hope next to you. I mean, yeah. Or when you're like a kid, you're like, you go over there. Don't touch me. This is the line. Don't cross the line. All right. Last question for you before we hit those social medias and whatnot. Who or what inspires you?
Yeah. So a lot of things inspire me. I think just going over just a quick summary of my comics biography. Rock of Pages was really inspired by just trying to figure out what I wanted to do in life. The Wild was just created just as an excuse for Nate and I to work together, really. Like, we were just trying to brainstorm things we could do together, and that's what came out. And then I think I mentioned this a little bit, but Altered Ego is inspired by the world that I've inhabited and trying to sell my comics, or trying to promote my comics, trying to get my comics out to the world, and sort of my reaction to that. As far as people and other things that specifically influence me, I think Bruce Timm and the like DC animated shows are a huge influence to me. Some other comic creators, Will Eisner is a big influence, Jack Kirby, going sort of classic, more modern. I think Dan Mora is my favorite artist right now. I don't know how he does what he does. It seems so like simple and detailed at the same time. And it's like, that's the kind of art that I want to make right now. Are you familiar with Dan Mora? Do you know who I'm talking about?
I am. I'm familiar of him. I've never read anything that he's done the art on, but I'm familiar with his artwork, and it is something special.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah, somehow it looks very similar to like animated stuff, but also very detailed and realistic too. And he's fast. Like, he does multiple books a month. I don't know how he does it. That's what I want to get to too. Like, my biggest drawback right now is just how long it takes me to do everything. Mm-hmm. Like, I've got so many ideas for comics and stories, and just time is my biggest drawback. So yeah, definitely trying to just mimic him as much as possible.
Well, I think you're not alone. I think that many of us in the creative sphere have so many ideas and not enough time to suss them out, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, let's hit up the social media, the website, where folks can keep tabs on you, and of course the Kickstarter as well, because it's fully funded, you just heard of what, 10, 15 minutes ago, about all the cool things that are still left to be unlocked. So Lee, go ahead and let us know where folks can find you.
Sure. So my website is leehexifer.com. I'm on all my social medias at leehexifer. That's LeeXoPher. I'm on all the main ones. If there's something you want me to be on and I'm not on, just let me know and I'll make an account and start posting there too.
How many do you have?
I mainly post to, I think, 4 or 5 of them.
Okay.
No, I mean, like, I'm not on TikTok. I don't get TikTok. I think TikTok is garnered more toward video, which I just don't have the time to do. Like, all my stuff is static images, so I would have to like rethink everything to get on there. But yeah, all the main ones I'm on. And yeah, as you mentioned, Altered Ego is live on Kickstarter right now. You can search Altered Ego, Altered Ego Toxic, Lee Exifer. And yeah, we are fully funded, but definitely hoping to raise more. More just means that we get more stretch goals for you guys, and we're in a better position to fund things in the future as well. Even though this campaign is focused on issue 4, the first 3 issues are also available. So if this is your first time hearing about me, you know, definitely feel like you can check it out and get caught up. It's all available on there, and we're happy to have you on board.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. If you can, go over to that Kickstarter, plunk down some cash, get yourself issue 4 or all the books or whatever you fancy, and help me out.
Yeah, well, I would appreciate it. And like I said earlier too, like, I totally get you're not able to support everything that you're interested in. So if you're not able to support, you know, give me a share, give me a like, give me a follow. All that stuff is free, and it all helps too.
There you go. Well, Lee, man, it's been fun sitting down and chatting with you as well. It's great to see that Altered Ego is continuing on as strong as ever. And thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Lee Exifer, talking about his comic, Altered Ego. And, you know, I said it at the beginning of this episode. I'm going to say it again. I'm a big fan of Altered Ego. I think it's a very unique book, and you should definitely check it out. And check it out by going over all of Lee's social media. And don't forget about the Kickstarter. If you want to donate, all you have to do is go over to Kickstarter and look for Altered Ego or look for Lee Exifer. And if you can't plunk down the cash, as Lee said, just help spread the word. That's easy, that's free, and that still gets eyes on his project. Now it's about time for me to tell you where you can get in touch with me if you have a question about this episode or any episode for that matter. First, you can shoot me an email. JohnOrlando@pvdcast.com is my email address. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook, Threads, and IG accounts. Just look for @PVDcast. And you can still find me on Twitter over on my Twitter handle, which is @PVDMVP. Now, maybe you want to let some folks know where they can hear the PVDcast. Well, there's a bunch of avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly and the best place to get every single episode. But if you're loyal to your podcasting apps and outlets, well, the PVDcast is available there as well. All you have to do is go to the search bar of your favorite outlet or app, put in PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you are listening through one of those outlets, please let them know how much you love the PVDcast by giving me a great rating and giving me a positive review. Because both those things help me out in the algorithm, and I really do appreciate it. And hey, while we're talking about outlets, go ahead and subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the PVDcast. And lastly, there's one final way to check out the show, and that's through the Facebook page. Every Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I do a little broadcast. So there's 3 very easy ways to check out the PVDcast at pvdcast.com. Your favorite outlet or app, or on Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page. All right, well, that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I thank each and every one of you for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Following has been a presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2024.